What we ministered on last week was passion. How many of you guys remember the message last week about passion? How many of you, the messages have been really helping you?
Yes, amen.
And I believe it's a word not only for us, but throughout the body of Christ. And we started off with talking about the church of Ephesus, yeah? How Jesus addressed all those churches. And mainly the church of Ephesus we kind of focus on. And Jesus told them, you're doing all the right things. I mean, you're teaching the word. You're going through trials. You're going through tribulations. You persevered. And, all these wonderful things. But he says, I have an indictment against you. I have an ought against you. I have a problem. And that problem was you have left your first love. Yeah? You left your first love. You have lost your passion. You lost your excitement, your enthusiasm, you know. And we've all been there. You know, and then we talked about how do we regain our passion? How do we regain that excitement? And Jesus tells us, well, first of all, he tells them to remember. He tells them to remember. Then he tells them to repent. Then he tells them to redo your first works again. So he tells them to remember. Remember where you fell. You know, we can all remember. Amen. When Jesus first came into our lives. Amen. I mean, that was the greatest thing that ever happened, the greatest decision you and I ever made. In fact, that was the first day I experienced true love when Jesus came into my life. I mean, I felt like kissing everybody. I've never experienced love like that, God's love. So he's telling us, remember that. Remember those times. I mean, reading your Bible. I mean, the excitement of just wanting to know God, that relationship that you had with God. And, man, you'd go through your Bible and you read. I mean, you couldn't get enough church. I mean, I remember the first year I got saved. And I think it was Brother George. And Fern, you can testify this. Brother George, myself, and Brother Ben would always meet here every Saturdays. Is that right? Daddy would be here every Saturdays. Yeah, working on the church, doing something. And some of the times, we weren't working on nothing. It was just having that fellowship. Amen. And just being out here in the church, you know. Just that excitement, man. And then, you know, life happens to all of us. You know, that excitement begins to dwane, you know. In fact, Paul tells us, let me see. He tells us in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Interesting scripture. He says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Notice that. Now, how many of you, when you heard the word slothful, how many of you thought the first thing that came to your mind was laziness? Interesting, that word slothful has nothing to do with laziness. Yeah. Now, when Paul says that you be not slothful or follows them that through faith and patience inherited the promise, surprisingly, that word slothful comes from the word nostros. Sounds like a Russian word, yeah? Nostros. Now, how many of you know that there's such an animal called a sloth? He's one of the most slowest animal in the world. How slow? Well, let me see. One, two, three, four, five, six. So this is about 7 feet from the end of the podium. It takes a sloth a minute to walk 7 feet. Now, I can walk 7 feet in 3 seconds, but it takes a slot, 1 whole minute, 60 seconds, to walk 7 feet. That's a long time. You ever tell your kids, hey, go get me this? Where'd you went? Go milk the cow, forget the milk? Anyway, I'm just joking. Now, the word slothful comes from the Greek word nostrils, and it describes something that is dull, something that is monotonous or unexciting, or something that is slow and sluggish, or something that has lost its speed or momentum. It once had speed and momentum, all of a sudden it starts to dwane. Yeah. We're talking about passion. It's something that is still moving. It's still moving. But it's not moving at the same velocity or the same aggressiveness that it first had. You know? Oh, you want to come to church? I don't know. You know, I got all these other things that I got to do. You know, church, coming to church, being with the family, is not as exciting as it once was. There's a slow of momentum. There's not an aggressiveness to really seek the face of God, you know, like you once had. That's what this word means, slothful. It has nothing to do with being lazy. It's a word that it tells it that someone lost his or her drive, the thrust, the pace, and the speed it once had. Kind of like James Honda that he had, that car he had in Oklahoma. He's driving home and it starts to lose speed, right? It starts to lose power, right? Nostrils or slothful, therefore, represents the idea of someone who once was zealous and passionate about something, but now whose zeal has dissipated. It can also be compared to a candle or a flashlight. You know, you ever had a flashlight that the batteries was already going dead? It has a light, but it doesn't shine really good. You cannot really see. I mean, you can see, but you can't really see where you're going. Yeah, that's what that word slothful or nostrils means. So that word nostrils does not describe anything to do with laziness, but it speaks of someone who has lost his or her zeal or his or her intense convictions about what matters or once was of great importance. Someone who becomes disinterested and whose zeal and passion has become has been replaced, or now the mentality is que sera, whatever happens, you know, that kind of a mentality. Amen? But, you know, God wants us to be passionate. In fact, you know, when Hannah was so in desperate of a son, you know, Hannah, through prayer, birthed forth her son, Samuel. The Bible says that she was grieved, man. She was grieved. I mean, she was perplexed. She was distraught. I mean, she wanted a son. She wanted a child. And the Bible says she was at the temple, and she was in such a place of travail, in such a place of desperation, that Eli, the priest, is sitting, and he's watching her. She's seeing her lips move, but nothing's coming out. You ever had a child who was crying? I mean, they cry. I mean, they're really crying. They kind of like lose their breath, and then they catch their breath, you know? That's how she was, in that spiritual place of travail. She was in a place of need. And through her prayer, and then Eli looked at her and says, man, put away your wine. You're drunk. And she said, no, Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm perplexed. I am in a place of desperation. I'm crying out to God because I have a need. And then he says, okay, well, may the God of Israel bless your request. The Bible says she laid with her husband and she conceived. But that son, and the Bible says God heard her and allowed her to conceive. He heard that prayer of passion, of zeal, of desperation. You know, I believe that, you know, Jesus said something, which is sometimes we just read it and we go, well, you know, okay, I read it. But we don't take it to heart what he's saying. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Now, anybody don't have to tell you when he made that statement what he was saying. What he was saying was this house, his house was being violated. They were selling things. It was being used for purposes that wasn't intended for the temple. And Jesus got angry because he said, this house is not going to be used for that, but it's going to be a house of prayer. And I believe that God's house, every house, that the presence of God dwells, that the basis of everything that God does, whether it's this church, any other church, the barometer of everything that occurs will be based on prayer. Yes. Whether it's salvation, healing, deliverance, whatever. It has to be. So I believe that God is bringing us back, that his house, whether it's this house, because the Bible says, don't you know that you are the temple? Don't you have a clue who you belong to?
Amen.
That you are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen. So we can say this house is a house of prayer, or this house as we gather together, that this will be a house of prayer. That will be, you know, we are a word, we've been declaring that we are a word church and a spirit church. But the basis of that glue or that adhesive is going to be prayer. Much prayer and more prayer. Not just flippant prayer, but prayer of intercession, prayer of travail, prayer that births forth out of your spirit, and that the manifestations of it will take place.
Amen.
But it starts with passion. God, restore passion in our hearts for him. So I believe God is restoring prayer in his house.
Amen.
And Faith Family Maui,
amen.
Every leader, every department, we pray. Ushers, sound, pray. Praise and worship, we're praying. We might even implement, next year, we might implement a night of prayer. We have a third Wednesday of every night of every month that is designated for corporate prayer. This is something that everybody has to get involved in.
Amen.
Every one of us. You know, prayer is not just for a few, but it's for all of us. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That word fervent means to be intense, to be hot, to be passionate, to be zeal, to be enthused. You know, when you come to God in that kind of heart, that kind of spirit,
amen,
then God knows you're serious. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So be not thoughtful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. You know, we read Romans chapter 12, verse 11 from the Amplified. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavors, be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Notice that. Never lag. That word lag means to wane or decrease in zeal, which is passion or intensity, and in earnest endeavors, be aglow, burning with your spirit, serving God. The message says, don't burn out. Keep yourself filled and aflame. You know, there's a term we use, burnout. I'm just burnt out. Well, he gives us the remedy of not getting burnt out. Keep yourself filled and aflame, and you will never burn out. The reason why we burn out is because we're not staying filled up and aflame for God. So now we become, you know, we qualify to be burnt out. Amen. Amen. So if we stay filled, you know, like I said last week, a fire, in order for it to keep on burning, has to have fuel. A fire without fuel will burn out. A life without the word will burn out. The life without the Spirit of God will burn out. If we hunger and thirst, we'll be filled. Yeah. Hunger for what? Hunger for the bread of life, which is the Word of God. And thirst, what? For the Spirit of God, the living waters. Hunger, thirst. Two different things. In order to sustain your hunger, you need food. In order to sustain your thirst, you need water. So combine the word and the spirit, you shall be full. Yeah. It takes the word and the spirit together. Because once you get full, there's nothing else that's going to entice you. Your appetite will be full. I mean, once you're full, you're not going to hunger for anything else. But it's when you're not full, then the possibility of being enticed for other things will be there. Right? I mean, we who live in Hawaii, I mean, when we go to a party or a luau, you want to make sure you leave full, right? I mean, Pastor Gar and I went to some place, I forget where it was, and man, it was like all this foo-foo stuff. Pretty stuff. You were pretty.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, I looked at that, I go, man, that ain't gonna work, man. I already knew. I mean, when you go to a party, yeah, and you got to go McDonald's after. I mean, why even go to the party? Just go McDonald's. But we got to live our life full. Yeah, full of God. Full of His Word. Amen? Full of passion. So passion, we can say passion is what energizes life. Passion is what energizes you. It turns impossible to possible. You know, I made this statement last week. Christians ought to be the most compassionate and compassionate, passionate people on this earth.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Prince of Peace, the one who created you and I in His likeness after His image, the one who holds you secure in the hollow of His hands, and to not have passion in your relationship with Him, right? You know, we have this term as electricians, you know, when there's when the power, electrical power, is not working right, there's this term we use. There's a shortage. A shortage means that somewhere along the electrical line, the outlet, there's a shortage. And instead of having a 120 volt, you have a 90 volt. But that 90 volt is not able to do what it's supposed to do because you need the full 120 or whatever, the full 220. But because there's a shortage, you don't have that full flow. So you have to go find where that problem is in the wiring or in the outlet. And then once you find it, then you have the full flow. But to have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, and to not have passion, there has to be some kind of disconnect to me personally. Yeah. Whether it's sin, whatever it is, there's a disconnect. Because, you know, like I said, we as God's people, you know, we have, I believe we ought to be the most compassionate, passionate people on the face of this earth. Yeah, I truly believe that. I mean, like I said last week, you know, if you go around selling stuff, you know, selling tickets, I mean, I don't approach James and says, hey, you don't like buy tickets, right? Sure, he's not going to, you know, my approach. But he said, man, you want to buy some tickets from Faith Family in Maui? You know? I mean, we make the bomb chicken plate, you know, the best chicken plate. Hey man, you know, they go, they're based upon you, your enthusiasm. Right. Yeah, give me five. In fact, there's a guy that came when we had that chicken sale. He came for one because Pastor Carroll, you know, was so enthused, he ended up buying five. And baked goods. We ought to be passionate and excited about sharing our faith with people. You know, we represent him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Well, what's your God doing? I don't know. He's not, you know. I don't know. What? Well, I don't want to go to church with you. What you God doing? Man, God's doing great things, man. He's healing people, saving people, you know, setting them free. Well, I want to come to your church. I want to see what God's doing. You know. You know, Paul says we are living epistles. Yeah, we are living epistles known and read of all men. We don't have, we ought not to be able to carry our Bibles and say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. No. We are the Bible. I told the men in my Thursday service in the Maury Correctional Facility. In fact, James, I preached your message Wednesday night. The notes I took from your message. If you missed James' message Wednesday night, it was an incredible message. Amen. Putting on the whole armor of God. Yes. But I preached your message to the men in Module B. Awesome. Yeah. Putting on the whole armor of God. See, when you go on rabbit trails, you forget where you're going. I'll find my way back. Passion. Yes, it is. Yeah, we have to be passionate when we're sharing our faith with everybody. You know? Amen? But you know what? I'm going to close here because I want to introduce something else, and I'm looking at the time, and I don't want to step into this area until next Sunday. Amen? So we're going to close here. Next week, we're going to talk about ownership, taking ownership, all right?